Well, you turn in the Bible to the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. This 8th chapter deals with the reading of the Word of God, the book of the law by Ezra. And as we consider it, we're going to consider the way it was read and the way the people listened to it. As I listened to the prayer of Abe, he gave me a pretty good outline in his prayer over this 8th book of Nehemiah. It begins with verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the 7th month. Now back in the 6th chapter, the 15th verse, we're told that the wall was finished. The building of the wall was finished on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Elul. Elul was the 6th month. In 773, the last chapter, the last verse of the 7th chapter, we read, when the 7th month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. In other words, the wall was finished, and now they had laid aside their tools, and they had gone to their cities. But evidently they didn't stay there very long, for on the first day of the 7th month, about 5 or 6 days after the wall was finished, they were all gathered together at the water gate and told Ezra to read the book of the law to them. They must have gathered almost immediately. Many of them must have traveled many miles. But they came because they wanted something that was important to them. They wanted Ezra the scribe to read the scriptures to them. We're told that they gathered together as one man. In other words, they gathered together with one purpose, with one reason. And that reason was important to them. They wanted the scriptures to be read to them. And notice they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. The question that came in my mind was, what prompted the people to come together and make this request of Ezra? One commentator makes the remark that they gathered together because of the celebrations of this month. For this month began it with Rosh Hashanah, and then there was the Day of Atonement, and then there was the Feast of Tabernacles in this month. But I don't think that was the reason, really. Because as we read this chapter, we find they didn't even know much about the Feast of Tabernacles, and probably didn't know much about the other feasts also. I think what prompted them may be found in 6:16, for they perceived, it says, that the work was done by our God. Now these words were spoken concerning the enemies of Israel, but certainly they could apply also to the people who were building. They recognized that it was God who was enabling them to work. That it was God who was working through them. That the work was really being done by God. They realized that they were only the instruments in the hands of God. They were His feet. They were His muscles. They were His hands. They were His skills. But the work was God. That God's hand was upon them. And God was working through them. I believe that it was this persuasion that led them to request Ezra to read the Word of God to them. And isn't it true? As we see God working through us, even as either as individuals or as a church and assembly, when we see God doing a great work through us, we have this persuasion that it's God, that we are God's hands and God's feet. We are the muscles that God uses. We are the brains that God uses. That we are instruments of God, that doing we want to know more about God. We want to know more about this God who uses us and does great things through us. And we'd go to God's Word, the Bible, for it. To find more about that great God. In verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women. All who could hear with understanding on the first day of the month. Then in verse 7, tells us that Ezra had some assistants helping him and helping the people to understand the Word of God. Verse 8, and they, these assistants, mentioned in verse 7, read distinctly from the law of God and gave the sense. Here the New American Standard Version says, gave the translation and helped them to understand the reading. Now let's look more in detail how the Word of God was read. Going back to verse 4. So Ezra stood on a platform of wood, which had been made for this purpose. Now it was a high platform, for there was a great crowd there. And if all the people were there, there was in excess of 45,000 people. That's quite a congregation. The only place we see crowds like that are at football games and baseball games today. But all these people, all those who had returned from the captivity, were hungry for God's Word. So they built a platform of wood that Ezra could stand on so he'd be raised up above the crowd and everyone could see him and everyone could hear him. In verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, so for he was standing above all the people. Can you in your imagination picture Ezra standing on that platform with scribes and elders on each side of him? Unrolling that scroll I believe it was probably the scroll of Deuteronomy, and preparing to read it. Certainly there was great expectation in that crowd as he unrolled that scroll and prepared to read it. For the people, this was a great occasion. For probably many of them had never heard the word of God read to them. Remember, these were people of the captivity who had been living in Babylon for a long time. Now the word of God was being read to them. And Ezra emphasizes by his position and attitude that this was God's word, that this was God's law that was being read. Not only that it was the word of God in the sense that it was the word that reveals God, and it is that, isn't it? This is the word of God. It reveals God to us. What he is and who he is, and what his desires are for us. But in another sense, it's God's word. It is God speaking. It is God's word. And I believe this is the sense that Ezra read it in, that scroll was God's word. It was very word of God. Not only did it reveal God and God's will, but it was God speaking through that scroll. And this is true of our scriptures also. This is God's word. I wonder, are we fully aware when we read the Bible that it is God's word? Are we fully aware when we expand it? And I speak to my own mind and to my own heart that this is God's word. When we teach it, it is God's word. How reverently we should handle it and interpret it. Then coming down to verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord. He praised the Lord who had given them the scriptures, the book of the law. I've read thousands of books, and that's no exaggeration, in my lifetime. I used to try to read at least 3 or 4 books a week. Besides studying God's word. And I've received blessings from many of them. I've received knowledge from many of them. But I'll tell you this. All the books that I read, not one of them compare to this book, the word of God. Not one of them could claim to be God's word. God speaking. And although there were many good things in them, there was much information that was good, they were not God's word. There is no book that can compare to the Bible, the word of God. And if I had to give up all the books that I've ever owned and read, and I used to have a library with more than 5,000, closer to 6,000 volumes. And I read every one of them. If I had to give them all up and only had one book, I'd choose the Bible. Then we read in verse 7. That 13 men and Levites helped the people to understand the law. In verse 8. They read distinctly from the book in the law of God. They read distinctly and gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Evidently, these 13 men were scattered among the congregation. And as Ezra read the law, they helped them to understand it. They came to the meaning of it. I wonder, did they have copies? I hardly think so. Yet it seems to indicate they had something. For back in those days, it was very tedious and very time-consuming to make copies of the law. But notice how they read. They read distinctly. How important that we read the Word of God distinctly. Now, I'm having some trouble this morning because my trigeminal nerve is acting up a little bit. And if I'm slurring my words, you'll know why. But we should read God's Word distinctly. When people get up to read the Word of God, at the first service, they should read distinctly. They should enunciate carefully. They should put the emphasis, the accent, on the proper words in order to bring out the meaning of the text. Then we read that they expounded the Scriptures. They gave the sense, the meaning, and helped them to understand. Now that's the part that sends the fear of God through me. The preaching and teaching of God's Word. It frightens me with the responsibility that is mine as I preach and teach the Word of God. I often think of the words of James in his letter, when he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." When we preach and teach God's Word, when we expound God's Word, we better be careful how we handle it, because God says we're going to be judged by the way we handle it, by the way we read it, by the way we interpret it, by the way we expound it. And that should bring the fear of God into our hearts. To expound and teach the Scriptures takes preparation. I remember one young preacher that lived up in the Adirondacks close to the Word of Life camp. In fact, I met him at the Word of Life camp. And we were talking about sermon preparation. And he said to me, "I never prepare. I just get into the pulpit and let the Holy Spirit speak through me." One of the men there who was an elder in his church said to me later, "And it sounds like it. It sounds like it." To expound and teach the Word of God takes preparation, study, prayer, a dependence upon the Holy Spirit, and more prayer, and more prayer, and more study. To speak or teach for 30 minutes or 40 minutes takes hours of preparation. Someone told me that it should take 2 hours of preparation for every minute that you speak. So if you speak for 30 minutes, that's 60 hours. Well, no one can spend that much time, especially when he's pastor of a church, where he speaks twice every Sunday and teaches Sunday school class and then speaks on Wednesday at the prayer meeting. By figuring even a 10-hour day, that would take 10 days for a 30-minute message. 10 days of preparation. And it's true. If we're going to expound God's Word, if we're going to teach God's Word, we better be ready to do some studying, some praying, and more studying, and more research, and more praying, until we find that this message speaks to ourselves. I always like to read over my message, and if it doesn't do something for me, I know it's not going to do something for somebody else. It's time to start over again. Now, we've considered how the Word of God was read. Now let us consider the attitude of the listeners, how they listened to the Word of God. And the first thing that we notice, that they were hungry for the Word. They listened with anticipation. They had a great desire to hear the Word of God. It was the people's request to Ezra that inaugurated it. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. Then he read it from morning until midday. Literally from light, from dayrise. He read it for 6 hours. And they stood for 6 hours. They stood. They didn't sit. There were no seats. There were no pews. There were no folding chairs. They stood for 6 hours and read, listened to the Word of God being read. Let me ask you, would you stand for 6 hours? Has someone read the Word of God to you? Well, the trouble is most of us can't stand that long, but even if we were healthy and young, how many of you would have stood for 6 hours and listened to the Word of God? I've heard of things like that happening on the mission field. I've had missionaries from Africa and from Asia, and from South America, tell me about people traveling for miles and miles and miles to come to a mission station, to a service where the Word of God was being expounded. And they'd stand and listen for hours to the Word of God being read and expounded. Because these people were hungry for God's Word. They had an appetite for God's Word. I wonder, do we have such a hunger for God's Word? To hear it read and expounded and taught? These people were willing to stand for at least 6 hours to hear it read and expounded. And then secondly, we see that they listened attentively. Verse 3. At the bottom of the verse, those who could understand, and the ears of all the people, were attentive to the book of the law. Now we can't turn our ears like a horse can toward the sound. But that's almost the picture that we're giving him. They tuned in their ears to the reading. They were attentive to what was being read. Their minds didn't wander off after the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. They were attentive to the reading of the Word. Why? Because they hungered for it. They had a desire to hear it. It was to them meat and drink. It was more important than anything else. The Word of God was important to them. So they listened attentively. And we notice also that they listened reverently. Verse 5. And when he opened the book, all the people stood up. I've recited to you this before, but I had the honor and the privilege of substituting for a Lutheran minister in a church in New York State. And this was an honor because most times those who were not ordained into the Lutheran ministry, or they call it the priesthood, are not allowed to speak in the Lutheran church. But I spoke there for 5 Sundays and had a wonderful time expounding God's Word. But I'll never forget the first Sunday I was there. In the Lutheran church, as in the Presbyterian church, they have 2 scripture readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And when I read the scripture from the Old Testament, I turned to it and I said, I'm going to read your scripture from such and such a book in the Old Testament. And they all stood up. And then we had some more singing and some more things that were in the service, which I don't even remember. And I said, it's time for your New Testament lesson. And they all stood up. I didn't tell them to stand, they stood up. Well, that was fine. We got to the time where I was going to preach. And I said, my text this morning is from such and such a book, and they all stood up again. Because when they read the scriptures in that church, when it was announced that the Bible was going to be read, the Word of God, they stood up. That's what these people did. They stood up. They listened reverently. And they listened agreeably, not antistically. And I'm going to have to rush on. When Ezra praised the Lord, the great God replied, Amen. Amen. While they lifted their hands to heaven. What does Amen mean? So be it. It's an agreement. They were listening agreeably. They didn't come to hear the Word of God so that they could criticize it. They came to hear the expounding of God's Word because they wanted to hear what God had to say to them. And they listened with an attitude of agreement. They didn't come to find fault with the exposition and with the reading of the Word. They came with an agreeable attitude. And then they listened worshipfully. We read, and they bowed their heads and worshiped with their faces to the ground. Now, we don't do things like that. But they were showing by their attitude. And many peoples around the world, when they worship, even when they're virtually worshiping false gods, will bow their heads and put their heads right on the ground. And this is what these Israelites did. They bowed their heads right to the ground as they heard the word of God. They listened reverently and worshipfully. This was God's word that they were listening to. And then in verse 9, we find that they listened emotionally. For all the people, verse 9, the bottom of the verse, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. You know, when we read the Bible, and when we hear it read, we ought to read it with our whole person, intellectually, emotionally, volitionally. All our being, our total being, should be open to the Word of God. The people wept. They were touched by the Word of God emotionally. People don't weep very much today before God, do they? There's little weeping, either privately or publicly, for sin. There's little weeping with joy for God's grace. There's little weeping for the grace of God. That caused Him to send His Son to die for our sins. There's little weeping when we read how God reveals Himself to us in the Scriptures through the Word. Do you ever cry? Do you ever weep as you read this book? Do you ever weep as you read about the suffering of Christ on the cross for you? And how He was manhandled, and how He was abused. Do you ever weep as you think of what it cost Him to become sin? When all the garbage, all the sinful garbage of mankind was placed upon Him on the cross. He bore it all for you and for me. Have you ever wept about it? Has it touched you emotionally? Have you ever wept with joy when you think of all that Christ has procured for you? Well, my time is almost up, so I'm hurrying on. And then the people listened joyously. Verse 12. They rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that was declared unto them. They rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that was declared unto them. Do you leave the Word of God, the house of God, rejoicing when you hear the Word of God? And then lastly, the people listened volitionally, obediently. And I'm not going to say much about this because it's given to us in the last part of this chapter. Beginning at verse 14, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. They had never done this, but here was in the Word of God. Verse 17, So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until the days of the children of Israel, until that day the children of Israel had not done so, and there was great gladness. Also day by day from the first until the last day he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. They listened. Volitionally, it reached their wills, and they obeyed what was written in God's word. And we're told that they rejoiced greatly. Let me just close with this. The feast of the seventh month begins with the feast of Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah? How does it conform to our calendar? It's New Year's, isn't it? It's the Jewish New Year. And Ezra told the people, don't reap or rejoice. It was New Year's Day. It was a time of rejoicing. A time of a new beginning. But oh, my friends, we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have had a New Year's Day. We have had a time of a new beginning. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, who liveth and abideth forever. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been made a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. All things have passed away and all things have become new. That's something to rejoice over. That's something to weep over, but weep with joy. That's something to shout hallelujah about. And if there's anyone here this morning who has never received Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, be obedient to the Word of God. Be obedient to the gospel message. It's called the obedience of faith in some scriptures. It means that volitionally you make a decision to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. To admit that you're a sinner and bound for hell and deserving hell, but you recognize that God sent His Son to die in your place as your Savior, as your Redeemer, and you receive Him as such. And then the Bible says you're a new creation. A miracle happens in your life. You're born again. You became new in Jesus Christ. You have a Rosh Hashanah, a New Year's Day. And as Ezra said, it's a time of rejoicing. And oh, how happy, how glad I am as I look back all those years to the time that Jesus put His hand on me and I received Him as my Lord and Savior. This word became precious to me. Before that, I did not believe that this was God's word. I didn't believe that it was a word that revealed God. I didn't believe that it was the word that speaks of God.